Okay, we're beginning here on the last line on Ayin Tet Amud Bet. At the end of the line it says, Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Kol HaShiurim Kulan B'Kezayit, all Shiurim in the Torah are a Kezayit, Chutz Mitumat Ochlim, except for Tumat Ochlim, Shishina HaKatov B'Mashma'an, V'Shinu HaChachamim B'Shiuran. Since the language that is presented there is slightly different, therefore the Chachamim also changed the standard Shiur that would be applicable. V'raya the davar, and a proof to that is Yom HaKippurim. My shina katuv b'mashmaho. What is it by Yom HaKippurim that the Torah changed the language? It's just milo ti'uneh. It doesn't say lo tochal. Doesn't frame the isur achila for Yom HaKippurim in terms of achila, which would otherwise have been a kezayit. It frames it in lo ti'uneh. U'may shinu chachamim b'shi'ureha. Therefore, the chachamim shi'ur, the gabe Yom HaKippurim, is different than it is by normal achila, and that is kekotevet. So the Torah told us that the requirement on Yom HaKippurim is to ti'uneh, means to afflict oneself. Inui, the Chachamim determined is kotevet, and not a kezayit, which would be associated with achila. So now the Gemara says, based on that, I have a principle that if the Torah changes its language, then I also will change the shiur. So therefore the Gemara says, I have a braita that tells me that all shiurim are kezayit by achila, except for that by tuma, because by tuma it says mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel. So the Gemara is going to darshan based on that, that there's a different shiur for tuma than it is for standard restrictions against achila, like chelev, like dam, all the other types of achila, because of mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel. Because of that, it's going to change it. The proof to that is that we see by Yom Kippur where the Torah changed its presentation. They also changed their shiur. So Gemara says, "My ra'ila davar Yom HaKippurim. Why is Yom HaKippurim a proof? Dimi hotam. Had it just been learned from the Tumat Ochlim, Habamino Rocha Degrahu, I would have thought that's just the way that the Torah expresses itself. Kol Ochel Asher Ye'achel. It's a nice poetic way of saying it, but I wouldn't have attributed any significance to that change. But now that I have a change by Yom Kippur, and I see that that change has impact, I go back now and I reassess how I looked at the Tumat Ochlim, and I say there's also something different there. Tumat Ochlim, Kibetza. Tumat Ochlim is the size of a Kibetza, Minolon. Where do we know that from? Amar Rabbi Bo, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Damagra. The Pasuk says, Mikola Ochel, Asher Ye'achel. Ochel, Haba Machmat Ochel, has to be food that comes from food. Ve'ezuzeh, Beitza Tarnagolet. That is the egg of a chicken. It says, Ema Gedi. Why isn't a Gedi also a food that comes from food? It's born from a mother who is food, and now it is food. It says, Mechusa Shchita. Whether it's the child or the mother, you're Chaser Shchita. It's not a food afterwards. You have to do something in order to make it into food. Ema Ben Pikua. That is, say, a child that is in utero when the mother is Shechted. The mother is Shechted, and there is a baby inside of the womb. It's called a ben bikua. It does not require shchita. The shchito of the mother is matir, the baby that is found in utero. When it says tohun kriya, you still can't just eat it like that. You have to tear it open. You have to kill it. You have to let the blood out because you can't eat the blood of that animal. And so therefore, it's still not food, even if it's a ben bikua. Ve'ema beitzat bar yuchni. Why don't you say that it's the egg of this bar yuchni? Egg of bar yuchni is a very large bird, large fowl. Gemara in Bechorot, at the tail end of Bechorot, says that once dropped an egg, and it flooded 60 cities and buried them under the liquid of its egg. The idea being that it has a very large egg. Gemara says, why are you picking the chicken's egg when you have other birds that are possibly have much larger eggs? It says, tafasta meruba, lo tafasta, tafasta mulat, tafasta. Because it says it has to be a food, and now I have a choice between all these different eggs and kosher birds. I'm going to pick the smaller. You take the least chiddush possible if I have, so that's the beitza tarnagolet. I says, well, if you want to go for the smallest possible chiddush, ema biato de tziporta. Why don't you talk about the egg of something like the hummingbird, a very small bird. The zutar tova, it's very small. Whether that's an answer of the Gemara, that it's just too small, and it doesn't make sense, because then you're below the standard of a kezayit, or the threshold of a kezayit. Or the zutar tova is, wow, that's really small, and now I have a problem, meaning that this isn't a great answer. Gemara is going to offer another alternative explanation. But you do have this issue about why we didn't pick a smaller bird. And you have to explain why you picked the chicken. On the other hand, Rabbi Abba today, Rabbi himself, Rabbi Abba before, he was quoting in the shame of Rabbi Elazar, his Rabbi, Rabbi Elazar Badat, his Rabbi. Now Rabbi Abba himself says, Mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel, ochel shata ochlo bevat achat. It's the amount of food that you can swallow down in one shot. B'shiru chachamim, ein beit ha-bliya machzik yotor mi beit ha-tarnagolet. Chachamim checked, or whether this is empirical or they have a mesorah about this, that when you swallow, you can only put a mount or a block of food that is the size of an egg in your throat when you're swallowing. So mikol ochel asher ye'achel. What is the amount of kol ochel that can fit into asher ye'achel when you're eating? That swallowing, that's the size that we're talking about here, and that's the size of a beitzat tarnagolet. So now you don't have questions about why didn't you pick other items, because it's very specific to the size. All right, so now we have the establishment of the fact that when the Torah changes its language, we're going to change the shiur. For us, that's important by Yom HaKippurim, because it uses te'unen, lo te'unev, and item et nafshot techem, inui instead of achila. So the offset to inui was metav date. It's something that brings a person to ease, it takes away the sense of inui. The Gemara said before, Kimu Rabbanan, that that's a kotevet, the size of a kotevet agasa, fat date, imgarinata. So that's the size for Yom Kippur. Now once we've established when the Torah gives you a different language, that you'd use a different shiur, we go over to Tumat Ochlim. Instead of saying the normal languages of Achila, it says, Mikol Ochel Asher Ye'achel. Now we're going to say that the shiur by Tumat is going to be different than it is by the standard Achila. Standard Achila is a kezayit. Over here, Mikol Ochel Asher Ye'achel, we're going to say it's a kebeitza. Either for the reason that it's ochel that ba mi ochel, or because of the reason of that's the amount that you could swallow in a single shot. Now in terms of kebeitza of tumat ochlim, this is a machlok we've discussed before throughout Shas, is the question of when that applies. Can food be mekabel tuma in a koshu, or does food have to be the size of a kebeitza to be mekabel tuma? That is a machlok at Rishonim. Rashi himself is soter himself in different places in Shas. The Rabbeinu Tam and the Tosafot discussed this, in the Machloket between the Bali and Tosafot about this issue. Everybody agrees that to convey Tuma from an Ochlim, you need to have a size of a Kabeitza. The only question is with regards to the receipt of Tuma. To receive Tuma, do you have to be a size of a Kabeitza, or even less than a Kabeitza can receive Tuma? That is that Machloket Rishonim. To keep it standardized, we'll just assume here that's conveyance of Tuma, because everybody agrees with regards to conveyance of Tuma, that Tuma Tochlim needs to be a minimum size of a Kabeitza. Now, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Ha'ochel chelev b'zman hazeh, person who eats chelev today, meaning b'zman she'in bo bayit, the time when we have no mikdash, so then he tzarich she'ichtov lo shiur. He should write down how much chelev he ate, shem yavo beitin acher, because maybe another beitin will come, v'yirbe b'shiurim, and they'll increase the shiurim. If they increase the shiurim, then if you wrote down simply the person ate a kezayit worth of chelev, and he writes down, I'm chayev chatat for eating chelev, then they won't know. Later on, if they change the shiurim, he won't know how much he ate. All he said is chayav chatat. So set your shiur down, so that way we can measure it against the future shiurim. It says, my year baby shiurim. What does that mean? They're going to increase the shiurim. Inema de mechayav karbana kezayit katan. You're chayav for a small kezayit. Vatanya. Asher lo ta'asena bishkaga vashem. So we have the pasuk by ikurban shogeg, which says, asher lo ta'asena bishkaga. He didn't do it. Bishkaga, it was a mistake, vashem, and therefore he was guilty. Hashav mi yidato mi vi korban al shigagato. Someone who, once they're made aware of the problem, will do tshuva, then he brings a korban for shogeg. Lo shav mi yidato, if he doesn't change his mind, meaning that if he had known the information beforehand, he wouldn't have changed his mind, he would have done the same thing, emi vi korban al shigagato. Then you don't bring a korban on the shigaga. So, over here, the reason that you have to bring a korban is because had I told you the information now, you would have changed your mind. Had I told you the information before, it actually wouldn't have changed your mind. It wouldn't have changed your mind because you would have been eating less than the shiur, that is, isur. We have to have you at a point where you say, well, had I known ahead of time, I would have changed my mind. If you change the shiurim, you've eliminated the korban entirely. So let's take a step back. In the Gemara, we discussed another place in the Bavli, they say that the kezayit that we speak about is a kezayit benoni. It's a middle-sized kezayit. So what they're afraid of here, it says Beit Din might come and change it. So you have two possibilities of how Beit Din would change it. Beit Din could lower the shiur, or Beit Din could raise the shiur. In the first case, the Gemara assumes what it meant. They lowered the shiur. They made a kezayit a smaller kezayit. If they make it a smaller kezayit, that would lower the threshold where you would be chayav. Mar says, that's not going to work, because in that case, you would not be chayav a korban. Because if they lower the shiur, had you known about it, and you thought it was a lower shiur, you would not have stopped or desisted from it, because you wouldn't have been at the requisite threshold that you thought it was asur. So that's not shav mi diato. You would not have changed your mind. What would have changed your mind is only if you reached the kezayit benoni. Had you known you're eating the right amount. Now, again, that raises the issue of chatzi shiur min ha-Torah, you might have desisted anyway. But in terms of korban, This wouldn't have changed your mind about the korban, because you're below the requisite amount for a korban by gezeit katan. So the Gemara says, why does that help you to write it down anymore? If they're going to lower the threshold of a gezeit, then it doesn't matter. You're not going to make a korban anyway, because you no longer would have changed your mind when you did the aveira. So the Gemara says, okay, so it can't be that. It must be that elad lo mechayvei korban adika gezeit gadol. He's only chayav a korban once he has a larger kizayit. So now, a larger kizayit means that they raise the size of a kizayit. So now, when they raise the kizayit of the kizayit, now we have to figure out whether you're really chayav a korban. So don't just write down, I'm chayav a chatat, write down the size of the shear of the kizayit, because if they raise the size of the kizayit, then you won't be chayav a korban. So Mar says, L'mali d'salik d'adat emi koro, based on what we thought originally, d'mechayvi korban a kizayit katan, that we'd make you chayav a small kizayit, my year baby shirim. What does it mean? Before it said, the way we introduced this whole sugya here is that Rabbi Elazar says, make sure you write down the size, because maybe Beit Din will come and raise or make the shiur bigger. So we said, what are they going to do? They're going to make the kezayit smaller. That's not yirbeh bishurim. That's miyeh bishurim. How do you explain that phrase? We rejected it for a different reason. But when you even presented that idea, how did you explain the term yirbeh shiurim? When it says, shemi yirbeh karbanot machmat shiurim. Because they're going to be more karbanot, because you lowered the threshold. So that's what it means, yirbeh. Yirbeh bishurim means yirbeh bikarbanot, because of the shiurim. So the yirbeh is not modifying the shiurim, but rather the korbanot, and that'll be the result of lowering the shiur. So they're trying to read that into the statement originally. We rejected it for other reasons, simply which is that it won't work, because it won't be chayav a korban anymore. But you have a second difficulty, which the Gemara is dealing with, which is the language of Rabbi Elazar's statement. So now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shi'urim ve'onshim alacha l'moshe mis-Sinai. Shi'urim in the Torah, as well as the punishments, are alacha l'moshe mis-Sinai. Mar says, what do you mean? Onshim michtav k'tivei. Onshim are written in the Torah. The Torah tells you what the punishments are for violation of Isurim. So what are you telling me that it is a alacha l'moshe mis-Sinai? Right now, following the Girsa of Rashi, Tosafot also agrees that Rashi's Girsa is correct. There were other Girsaot in the Gemara and are very hard to explain. So we're going to follow the Gemara, which does follow the Girsa of Rashi and makes the most sense. Elohochi Gamar. This is what he meant. Shirim shelod shim alach l'moshe mis-Sinai. Not that the onshim are alach l'moshe mis-Sinai. The onshim, the punishments, are written in the Torah. What is not written in the Torah is what is the threshold to warrant the punishment, to be mechayev you in such a punishment. That is the halacha l'moshe mis-Sinai. What is the amount that you must consume or do in order to be in violation of the isur? Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a braita that supports this. Shirim shalonshim halacha l'moshe mis-Sinai. So here I have the language itself in the braita, which says that the shirim of onshim are halacha l'moshe mis-Sinai. Achirim omrim. Even if you assume that achila equals kezayit, and that you didn't need halacha l'moshe mis-Sinai, that's not even so clear. How do you know that achila is a kezayit? That's already establishing a principle that you need halacha l'moshe mis-Sinai. But even given that you could say achila and kezayit are synonymous, every time you have a change in language to go to kebetza, to kotevet, how do you know which ones are? Right. How do you know the shiurim that you're moving off of? So that has to be halacha l'moshe mis-Sinai. So that's the way that Rabbi Yochanan views it. Acherim omrim, beitino shel yavitz tiknum. The Beit Din of Yavetz put them together. As Rashi says, Yavetz is another name for Otniel ben Kenaz. So he was the one, after Moshe died, when they lost a number of halachot, and then he came back and learned them and put them back in place. He was the one who reestablished the Shurim. V'aktiv, Elo mitzvot shen anavi rashay lechadesh davar mi'ata, Elo shachachum v'chazru yazdum. So this is the answer the Gemara gives in many places. The Navi can't introduce new halachot. The Navi can interpret the Torah. He can bring you new items that you didn't have before. If you say it's halacha l'moshe mis-Sinai, then what you've done is given attribution to all of these shiurim back to Torah mis-Sinai. So therefore, you don't have a problem of chidush. Once you say that a Beit Din established them, that means until that point, what was the law? And then after the Beit Din, they changed the law, and they established all these lines. What was that changed? How do they allow this type of change? And the answer Gemara gives in many places when it comes to this is, Shachachum, they forgot them. They were from Moshe Mis-Sinai, they forgot them. Chazum v'yazdum means that the Beit Din re-established what was already in existence before. And that is the story that we have by Yodniel ben Kenaz, that after the death of Moshe, they forgot all these halachot. He, through his pupil and through his learning, was able to bring back those halachot. One of those things is the halachot of Shi'urim. We also have this in the Gemara we get to in Sukkah. Also, there are machloket about certain things that happen, whether they're halacha l'moshe mis-Sinai, whether we can learn them out from the psukim. We have different views on this in terms of Shi'urim. whether they're Drabonan and Asmuchu El Akra, or whether they are Blacha Lamoshe Mitzinai, we'll see different options along the way. Most likely, and that's the majority opinion, is that they're Blacha Lamoshe Mitzinai to avoid all problems. First of all, how can you have something new? Where do these shirim come from? How do you know? So most of them read it as Blacha Lamoshe Mitzinai. Right now, the Gemara says, Hashotem lo dugmav. Someone who drinks a mouthful is in violation of the Inui and Yom Kippur with regards to liquids. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Lo melo lugmav mamash doesn't really mean a mouthful. Something if you move it to one side will look like you have a mouthful. So that's enough. So that's what we call kimelo lugmav, like a melo lugmav. Where it says vanan tnan. What about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says melo lugmav. Doesn't say like a melo lugmav. It says a melo lugmav. It's a full mouthful. Ema kimelo lugmav. No problem. Just put a little chuf there and we solve the problem. Doesn't mean a melo lugmav. It means like a melo lugmav. Right now, this has important ramifications. We'll see after we read the next braita. Meitave. Kam yishte v'yechayav. How much must a person drink and be chayav? So Beit Shammai umrim. Beit Shammai says you have to drink a revi'it. Beit Hillel umrim. Belo lugmav. A mouthful. Rabbi Yehuda omer. Mishum Rabbi Elazar. Kimelo lugmav. Like a melo lugmav. Yehuda ben Beteiro omer kedei gmi'a. The amount of a gulp. So now, here you have a problem because you have Beit Hillel Omrim Milo Lugmav. And they're saying that that is the violation. We're going to assume that we paskin like Beit Hillel here. And it's Milo Lugmav, it's not a Kimelo Lugmav, it's really a Milo Lugmav. So the Gemara says, Mi Adifa Mi Matnitan. Why is this any different than our Mishnah? In our Mishnah you have Milo Lugmav and we solved the problem. How do we solve the problem? We just said it means Kimelo Lugmav. So why are you so afraid of a braita that says melo lugmav? You can do the same thing you did to our Mishnah, which says melo lugmav really means ke melo lugmav. Mi adifa matnitan dukimna kedei shir e. I mean, it's as if it is a melo lugmav, meaning ke melo lugmav. Achanami kedei shir e. It'll be just looking like a melo lugmav, which means like a ke melo lugmav. I says, yeah, there's a little problem in the braita is because that's hainu de Rabbi Elazar. Wait a minute, there was another opinion in the braita, which was ke melo lugmav. That means if you switch Beit Hillel now to say that Melo Lugav means Kim Melo Lugav, all of a sudden he's the same as another opinion. Man says, no problem with that. Ikim Benayu Melo Lugav Dachuk. How much of a mouthful do you need? Kim Melo Lugav. So as he says, Melo Lugav Dachuk, the Beit Hillel bin and Kadeshu Sokenel Tzarechad Virek Melo Lugav Revach. To move it to one side and make it look like you have a mouthful with a lot of space. Rabbi Elazar, Kolom Lugav Dachuk. You can have just the amount of a mouthful. So there's a slight difference between them. We solved that problem. But now we introduced a new problem, which is Matifla Raboshaya, in Kain Habalei Mikule Beit Shammai Umuchumre Beit Hillel. Now all of a sudden you have a problem because now you have something that's from the Kulot of Beit Shammai and from the Chumrot of Beit Hillel. Because the Shiur here is for how much Ishteh V'yechayav. So if you have Beit Shammai saying a Revi'it and you have now Beit Hillel saying Gvo Mugmav is less than a Revi'it. If that's the case, then Beit Hillel has a lower threshold to be chayav. That means Beit Hillel is being machmir over here. What Tosfot points out over here, this is very important, was until we changed Beit Hillel to Melo Lugmav, we did not think that this was a problem. That means that a Melo Lugmav is bigger than a Revi'it. So that's what Tosfot says. A Melo Lugmav is greater than a Revi'it. A Melo Lugmav is less than a Revi'it. And this is important because of things like Kiddush. When you make Kiddush, you're supposed to make Kiddush al Revi'it of Yayin. What do you have to drink of the Revi'it Yayin? The Gemara says, Melo Lugmav. You have to drink a Melo Lugmav. So Tosfot says it must mean Kemelo Lugmav, and not Melo Lugmav. It can't literally be a mouthful because that's bigger than a Revi'it. So how can we require you to make Kiddush and Revi'it and then drink more than the Revi'it? So it must be, it's a Kemelo Lugmav, which is less than a Revi'it, which most of the poskim say is a Rov Revi'it. And that's the requirement of Kiddush. That's what it says. For the same reason that by Yom HaKippurim, you have to drink enough, not to satisfy yourself, but simply to put your mind at ease. Because if we make you drink a full Melo Lugmav, then you can be above the Revi'it of Kiddush. So he says, Kiddush has the same reasoning as in Yom Kippur. You have to drink enough to make them date. That's called Kiddush. So because of that, the requirement is Kim Melo Lugmav. And it must be a Kolo Melo Lugmav, because you need to be less than a Revi'it, because if it's a Melo Lugmav, it's greater than a Revi'it. So now the Gemara says, Amalei, don't worry about that. Ki itchil, v'og melech habashani itchil. It depends who you're asking about. You have to know who you're asking about, because you have one objective shiur and one subjective shiur. So you're talking about a normal person, you're right. Then Beit Hillel is the Chumrah, because most people's cheekful or Kimmel Ol Gugmav is going to be less than a Revi'it. But for Og Melech HaBashan, a Revi'it, which is a standardized measurement, an objective measurement, and his Kimmel Ol Gugmav is going to be bigger than that. So for Beit Hillel, it'll turn out to be a Kula here, and for Beit Shammai, it'll be a Chumrah. So now the Gemara says, okay, interesting. Matifla Rabbi Zera. Maishma Achila, Dechol Chad Bechad Bekotevet. Maishna Shtia, Dechol Chad Bechad Bedidei. Why by food do you have an objective shiur of a fat date? Kotevet Agasa Begarinata. You use an objective shiur for when you're violation of Yom HaKippurim. Yet with drinking, you use a subjective shiur. Kim of Ol Lugmav. So we're passing like Beit Hillel. And now we have objective shiur for Achila, subjective shiur for Shtia. Why would you differentiate? Tamalei Abaye, Kim Lehud Rabbanan. Geko Tevet, Bedachi Mitva Date. Batzir Mechachi Lo Mitva Date. So with regards to food, Abaye says that with regards to Achila, the Rabbanan have either a Mesora, empirical evidence, the fact that a kotevet is what puts person's mind at ease. Less than that, it doesn't work. Bishtiya, bididei metvedate, bidichavre lo metvedate. Vayu basically says what's obvious. Oh, he's basically telling you what the conclusion would be from this, which is that by drinking, it has to be relative to one size. Drinking is subjective, and therefore metvedate, from drinking, you have to measure at the subjective level, because the chachamim have halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, have empirical evidence that people only reach a point of ease when they drink amount that is relative to their size. On the other hand, with food, there's an objective size where a person would reach a point of ease. So Gemara says, Batkifla Rabbi Zera, b'chol olam kulo b'kotevet, v'og melech bashan b'kotevet. Wait a minute, is that really true? You have here, the whole world is going to eat a kotevet, and they're going to be at ease. And now og melech bashan, we're using him as an example of a giant, someone who is oversized in every way. Now, he's going to eat that same little date, and it's going to make the same impact on him? Amalei, Abaye. So he says, yes. Kim lehu Rabbanan. Rabbanan established, b'achi meitva date, batzer me'achi lo meitva date. This is the Chachamim's principle. This is the Halacha Moshe M'Sinai, that a kotevet agasa puts people's mind at ease. Mi'u, kuli ama tuva. When it comes to the rest of the world, when they eat that amount, it gives them a lot of ease. It puts them very much at ease. For Og Melech HaBashan, Porta, it gives them a little relief. So we're looking for the opposite of Inui. The opposite of Inui runs across a very large scale. So we cook out an objective shiur on the scale, which is the same for everyone. The Kotevet HaGasa is something that puts everybody at ease. How much at ease you are will depend on your size. Personal size will make that difference. But this is a shiur that's a minimum that objectively everybody will hit that minimum. Rabbi Zeira keeps going. Matkala Rabbi Zeira. Basar shemein bikotevet. Velugve gifanim bikotevet. Eat nice big fatty meat, and it's only you have to eat a size of a fat date. And then luve gifanim bikotevet. And then you're going to eat these branches or shoots of the grapevines. And that has to be the same size. When it's eating like salad versus eating a big piece of steak, do they satisfy in the same way? If you're going to eat the same size of salad as you are of meat, are you really going to end up in the same form of satisfaction or the same form of ituve date? So he says, let's leave it away from people. Let's look at the foods. Doesn't it make a difference which food you're consuming? Chumim have this principle, the Halacha Moshe M'Sinai, that kotevet agasa is the threshold. Less than that, there is no itublai date. Now, miu, basar shemein tuva. When you eat fatty meat that size, that's going to give you a lot of relief, a lot of comfort. Luve gvanim, if you eat that, it'll give you the minimal amount to get across the threshold of being not inui anymore. Enough itublai date, enough of relief or comfort that it will offset the inui. So again, we're talking about longest scale. Within the scale, Yituve Date runs across a very long scale. What the Chachamim have is, here's the minimum amount of any food that will bring you to the point where you feel at ease from eating it. So that's the minimum shiur. So this Kotevet HaGasa is an objective shiur that covers both different sizes of individuals as well as different foods. The combination of both of them, it means if you took the biggest person with the smallest food, took like salad for Og Melech HaBashan, still a Kotevet HaGasa would bring him some relief. That's enough to say that we've hit the objective minimum, and that becomes the objective minimum for everyone. All right, now, here's the question that David raised before about what are the ramifications of these different shirim. So, Matkiv La Rova, Kizayit V'Kudei Achilat Pras, Bikutevet, bikadei achilat pras. The Torah law based on the Gemara is that when you eat, you don't have to eat everything simultaneously or at once in order to make up the shiur, either be culpable or to be yotzei the mitzvah. You have to do it bikadei achilat pras, in the amount of time it takes to eat pras, half. So we'll get into what exactly that half is, but whatever that bikadei achilat pras is, that is the standard shiur from which you must consume a kazayit in order to be chayav or in order to be yotzei the mitzvah. All of a sudden over here, we have a new shiur. We have a kotevet agasa by Yom HaKippurim. By kotevet agasa, we did not also introduce a new time window in which you must complete it. So Rova asks, is it really true that kazayit, which is a smaller shiur, we already established that a kotevet agasa is greater than a kazayit you would have to consume in kadei achilat pras to be chayav, and then now for kotevet agasa, you also only have that smaller time window. Shouldn't the time window expand with the amount or quantity that you are eating? So now, kadei achilat pras starts from the seudot by Eruv. By Eruv it says that a full loaf of bread can provide shtei seudot. So therefore, kadei achilat pras means half a loaf of bread. Half a loaf of bread is the equivalent of half of the seudot, which means one meal. So I will give you one meal. That's what the shiur is. And you can see this in Rashi, b'kzayit b'kadei achilat pras, kimlan b'chol otan yisurim, shishurim b'kzayit. We have this halacha l'moshe misinai, or this principle that whenever it comes to kazayit, shim shahab ben tchilat achilat shiur legemar achilato yoter mikadei achilat pras, ein mitzaref. It doesn't join together. Ad shiokol kol shiur b'toch kadei shiat seuda. You have the amount of time it takes to consume a seuda. V'chi achilat chatzi kikar. That is half a loaf of bread. Shiur bo et eruv. Because eruv is, you need mazon bet seudot. So the kikar, full loaf of bread is two seudot. Half a loaf of bread is equivalent of one seuda. So pras, which means a half, means kadei achilat pras, means amount of time it takes you to consume half a loaf of bread, which means one meal. So the amount of time you have to consume this is over the period of time that is kadei achilat pras, or one meal. That is a major machloket amongst the achronim as to what is the time duration of kadei achilat pras. It can run from very small shurim all the way up to a much larger shurim. It makes a difference for isurim versus mitzvot. And that's what brings up some of the issue with matzah. Even though we are trying to get a kazayit in, the kadei achilat pras, you're matching up the largest size of kazayit shiur with the smallest amount of time for kadei achilat pras, and that's what brings the challenge. It really should be proportional, which means the larger your kazayit is, it's more likely that your kadei achilat pras should also be wider. There should be some connection between the two. So that's why it may not make so much sense to get the greatest shiur in the smallest amount of time, although we are makpid to try to do that in general with regards to matzah. In terms of the question of Rova is, how do you have the same threshold or the same time frame for a kazayit as you do for a kodevet? Rabbi says that we're looking for something. We're looking for relief. We're looking for a certain amount of ease that comes from eating. He says, you're right, that we raise the shiur to kodevet agatzah. But we have to do it in that requisite amount of time, otherwise it does not provide that easing of the mind. So yes, a kazayit b'kadei achilat pras on a proportional basis should lead you to a larger time frame for a kotevet agasa. But the chachamim had that halacha l'moshe misinai, or have that misora, that doesn't provide mitzvah date. If we expand the time frame in which you eat more, basically you're proportionally still eating a kazayit. To eat a kazayit in kadei achilat pras, if you eat a kotevet in a larger window of time, you're basically in the end eating a kazayit in a kadei achilat pras, and that doesn't provide the mitzvah date. So we have to shorten up the window to make it so that it has the mitzvah date, because then you're eating more in that shorter window of time. So now, Gemara says, matkiflo rovo. Here it's a little question about the gear, so whether it's b'kotevet b'kadei achilat pras or kazayit b'kadei achilat pras, doesn't really matter. B'chatzi pras b'kadei achilat pras, and then half of a half in the time of achilat pras. Now this has to do with the Mishnayot, that they start out with a pras, and then they say, what is a chatzi pras? These all have relevance within halacha. If you start out with the two sudot or the kikar, that's for eruv. Then you do pras, which is half, that gets you to the achilat pras. Then after that we have chatzi chatzi, which means a half of a half, which means that you have half a su'uda. That has significance within the word of tumat ochlim. If you consume that amount of food that is tamei, it makes your body tamei. We saw that in the Yudchet Davar at the beginning of Shabbat, when we learned Masechet Shabbat, that there were Yudchet Gezerot. One of those Gezerot is if you eat a kebetza worth of Tamei food, then you are Pasul Gviyah. It makes your body Tamei Midirabanan. So that's what the Gemara says. Chatzi pras, or chetzi chetzi, lipsol et agvia. So now that goes back to the sizes of the seudot. If you start out with the seudot, so that's actually a machloket Rashi in the Rambam, about whether you're starting with 8 or 6 beitzim for the full meals, and then whether half becomes 4 and 3 beitzim, then you cut that in half, you get up 2 beitzim for tumat ochlim. So now he says the same thing again. He says, that consumption of the tamei food, does that have the same window of gedei achilat pras? Now you're eating more food, and we're still saying that the threshold for eating it is within a gedei achilat pras. Amarlei Rav Papa, anachle tumat giviyad, delab doraiti. That's a din derabonon. So a din derabonon, even though it's a larger shiur, they still gave you that same window of time. Mar says, mi amar Rav Papa, achi, can Rav Papa really say this? Vaktiv. Loti tamu behem, vinimneitem bam. It says about the eating of shvatzim and all these items that you're not allowed to consume. It says, lo titamu b'hem, do not become defiled by them. And that will make you tamei. Tamra papa mikan shukmat viado raita. But it's actually mina Torah, because it says here, lo titamu b'hem, do not eat them and become defiled. And it will make you tamei. If you eat these tamei items, you will become tamei. And that's Rav Papa who's authoring that position. So how could he say that psul gviyas derabonon when he has this limud from the pasuk? And so the answer is, no problem. Derabonon v'kras machta ba'alma. So din derabonon, and the pasuk's just a hint to this din. It's not like he's really making a limud out of it. He's using that limud as a hint to the fact that they have this din derabonon. Now, as Rashi points out, it's clear here, lo titamu b'hem v'nitetim bam is not an azarat to bnei Yisrael. What's wrong with becoming tamei? There is nothing wrong with becoming tamei. So that's what Rashi says. Lo zui azarat tuma. It can't be to warn you, don't become tamei. Shari ein Yisrael muzarim li tamei. Bnei Yisrael are never warned from becoming tamei. There is no requirement for a Jew to remain tahor. Now, the Rabbi Eger takes issue with Rashi and says, there's no requirement for a Kohen to remain tahor. The only requirement for a Kohen is that he may not become tamei tumat mate. Other than that, there's no requirement that a Kohen not become tamei. There's no isur, right? He can't work. He's precluded from eating truma. It has ramifications, but there's no isur in a Kohen becoming tamei. The only isur in a Kohen becoming tamei is becomes a contact with a mate, if tumat mate. So he says, I don't understand why Rashi said, en Yisrael muzarim. It's nobody is muzar on this type of tumah. So once you've established that, what do you do with this pasuk of Loti Tamu Behem and Itay Tembam? But Papa says, it's coming to teach you that if you consume tumah, you become tamei. Then the Gemara says, well, that's a kras, that's machta ba'alma, that's not the real limud. Because the Gemara establishes that the only thing that you consume and makes you tamei is nevelat of tahor. Because that's min haTorah, that's the tumah that comes from eating an of tahor, nevelat of tahor. That's the only thing that happens. You become tamei. That's the only thing in the Torah that makes you tamei from eating it. And therefore, esmach ba'alma, and we'll use the pasuk for adam yitamei atzmo me'at mitamim oto harbei, for an negatic interpretation, which is lo titamu b'hem, if you become tamei, v'nimteitem bam, you'll come even more tamei. If you lead yourself down a path of tumah, then that will only roll up and come more and more tamei. So that's why lo titamim bam we'll use for an negatic interpretation, take it out of context, because it doesn't make sense in context. We're not going to use it for the limud of Rav Papa. So in the end, we have this idea that a two beitzim of food that is consumed makes you tamei, and that is a din derabanan. Over here, Tosafot raises the same issue. He raises it in other places in Shas. He raises it in Shabbat with regards to the Yudchet Davar, that it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, because over here the Gemara is suggesting that maybe it's Doraita. This din is Doraita. Tosafot says, Yudchet Davar, those 18 things that were nigzar in Gemara and Shabbat, everybody knew they were derabanan. They're clearly dinim dirabanan. Why would you ever think that that is a din d'oraita? They're yudchet davar because they're all dine dirabanan. They were established as the 18 items. One solution is given by the Riva, which has a lot of difficulty to do it. Rabbeinu Tam has a different solution, which is that there were actually two stages to the gezerah. There was an earlier stage, which was a gezerah that was mukdam, a very early stage gezerah, that they were uncertain as to whether that was a din dirabanan or a din d'oraita. There's a later stage gezerah, which is the one of the yudchet davar. And therefore, he says, Rabbeinu Tam perish the shtei gezerot havu. There were two gezerot here. The mikaro gazur b'shtei beitzim. The nifsal gufei melechol b'truma. But mutar liga. Originally, they made his body, if you ate two beitzim, you were not allowed to eat truma, but you could come into contact with truma. That was the original gezerah. That's what it means, lifsol gvi'a. What does it mean to ruin your body? It means that you can't now consume truma. If you ate two beitzim of truma, then your body was now precluded from consuming any truma. But if you touched anything, you're not tamei in terms of your truma. What's the reason that they put this gezerah in place? Is because, what were people going to think? You ate a kebetza of truma, and you ate a kebetza of ochlim tmeim. Now, normally, if outside of your body, if you have a kibetza boklim tmeim and they come into contact with truma, they're going to ruin the truma because they're going to invade the too much of the truma. Why is it not a problem when you eat it yourself? Because it happens inside of your body. Because once you've swallowed it, it's not going to matter. Because once you swallowed it, you probably make it less than a kibetza anyway. But even leaving that aside, when they bump into each other in the body, there is no truma conveyed inside of your body. So what were they afraid of? People were going to say, Mali betol gufo, mali lechutz legufo. If I can eat a kibetz of ochlim and truma and not worry about it, then why can't I do it outside? I can also put them together and not worry about it. So therefore they made the gzeira about two beitzim, and that's posel the gviya, just the gviya, not about maga. Along comes the gzeira chachamim in the Yudchet Davar and says, number one, we lower the standard to a kibetz. That if you eat a kibetz of ochlim, you're going to be tamei. And this is for a different reason. This is the reason which is, we're worried that you're going to put liquids in your mouth at the same time. You're going to put liquids of truma in there, and it's going to be mitameh them when you put them in your mouth. That you're at the same time that you're eating this kibetzo, you're also going to have a problem with the liquids. So the very early gezeirah is the one that we're speaking about here. The one about the yudchet davar is something that was established much later, which lowered the shear from two beitzim down to a single beitzah. In addition to that, it made you pasul gviya, made your body tamei to the point that not only could you not eat shuma, you also couldn't touch things now. So that's the extension, or that's the extension de Rabbanan of the Yudchet Davar. So in short, our Gemara here is discussing the shtei beitzim of the original gezeirah, and that's why they have a safek as to whether it is midoraito or midirabbanan. And that's why the level is shtei beitzim, and it talks about psula gviya. Whereas the Yudchet Davar is a much later gezeirah de Rabbanan that reflects a kibetz of ochlim for a totally different reason. The Rivo gives an alternative answer trying to explain why you would have a gezeirah for two beitzim in Shabbat that is similar to this one, even though we're talking about tumat ochlim to mashkim. He suggests that the Rabbonon believed that you had to eat two kibetzim in order to be thirsty enough, in order to put liquids of truma into your mouth, and that's where the whole gezeira stems from. It works well on the solid side, but by the liquid side it doesn't work, and that's why we favor the interpretation here of the Rabbeinu Tam. And we also use Rashi's measurements in terms of the kikar being 8 beitzim versus the Rambam's 6 beitzim, which would have turned out that for psula gviya here, it would have been 1.5 beitzim. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Papa. Achol umtza milcha mitzareif. If you eat, umtza is translated different ways in the Gemara. Most times it means raw meat, but sometimes it also means roasted meat. But assuming that you ate it with salt, they're mitzareif. Now even though salt by itself is not food, but salt together with the umtza is considered to be food, and therefore it is counted towards the shi'ur to be in violation here, even though it itself is not food. Even though it itself is not food, but since people eat it in this way, normally people put salt on these items, that then gives it a classification of achila, even though it's not ochel. So even though it's not food, it is achila because it's consumed together with items in a normal fashion. The liquid or the brine that comes with the vegetables is mitzareif to get you to the kotkevet of Yom HaKippurim. Once again, you're talking about items that they themselves would not necessarily be eaten. They would not be consumed alone. But when they're together with the yerek, they take on additional significance because of the combination in which they're eaten. The same thing as the salt we had before. I said, shito. Well, of course. We just said that before about the food with the meat and the salt. No, what you would think is that it's a mashke. Before, we were talking about two solid items. We're talking about meat and salt. Those are both solid items. We are talking about a yerek is a vegetable plus, whether it's the liquid of it or the brine, those are liquids. Anything that comes along with the ochel makes the food edible or consumable, then that also is included in the food item itself, even though it's a liquid. So if this is a normal accompaniment for such an item, then it will become part and parcel of the item, even though alone this item would not have that significance. Amar Reish Lakish. Someone who overeats on Yom Kippur, right before Yom Kippur in the Suda Mafseket, he eats till he cannot eat anymore. If he consumes anymore now, it'll be overeating and he will be repugnant to him. He won't even enjoy it. He'll probably just throw it up in the end anyway. And then in that state, he eats on Yom Kippurim. Patur. You're not chayav on Yom Kippurim, my tama. Asher lo teunek tiv. It says that you did not afflict yourself. Prat the mazik. This is not afflicting yourself. You're eating at this point in time. It's not of any ease or satisfaction. It's harmful to your body. It's detrimental to you. It's nothing to do with the tuna or not tuna anymore. It's in a different category totally. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amar Reish Lakish, Zar, Shachal Chuma. Person who eats truma. A zar who eats truma normally, he gets enough from it. Bishogeg, he pays keren v'chomesh. He has to pay back the keren, which is what he damaged because he took truma, plus the chomesh, an additional fifth on top of that. But if he eats truma, achila gasa, mishalemet the keren, v'ena mishalemet the chomesh. Then it's no longer considered that he ate the truma. It's considered as if he damaged the truma. If you simply damage someone's property, you just have to repay them for the damage done to their property. So when you eat in this manner, it's not under the normal category of eating, but rather the category of hezek. And that's what the Gemara says. Because it says by truma, ki yochal, prat lemazik. Ki yochal is when you eat, prat lemazik, prat is to someone who does damage. So it's if you're eating, then you're chayav keren v'chomesh. If you do damage, then you're only chayav for the keren. I'm Rabbi Yirmeyah, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Zar shikoseis se'orim shel truma. A zar who chews on barley grains, barley seeds, shel truma mishalemet to keren v'ein mishalemet to chomesh. He pays the keren and not the chomesh. As Rashi says, koseis means anytime you eat something not in the normal way that it's eaten. Here he's taking raw barley kernels and chewing on them. Okay, he can do that, but that's not the normal way of consuming such food, because yochal prat mazik. Over here, you're not eating it, you're actually damaging it. This food is worth a lot more if it was done properly and used properly. You're eating it in such a way that's not the normal way to eat it. You're actually damaging it rather than consuming or eating it. I'm Rav Shizvi, I'm Rav Yochanan. Zar shebala shizvin shel truma. If you eat shizvin, we know the modern day shizuf is a plum. Rashi translated as prunes, which are dried plums. Others translated as jujubes shel truma v'hekian. And then he brings them back up. He throws them up. V'achlan acher. And then someone else eats them after he's thrown them up. Rishon mishalem keren v'chomesh. The first one has to pay keren v'chomesh because he ate what was considered to be a normal food. When he ate it, it was a food. After the other person throws it up, sheni eats it. He's not eating food anymore. That's not considered to be food anymore. That's considered to be like wood. Then it comes up at that point. Therefore, eno mishalem elo dmei itzim, the rishon bilvad. He pays him for the value of dmei itzim, something that you could use to put in your fire, something that has whatever its utility would be. It's certainly not as food. Whatever the utility of this item would be after you've thrown it up. So he's chayav for that amount because he's eating something that's not edible anymore. It's not considered to be food. Number two is the first person already took it away from the shame truma. By taking it away from the shame truma, then the second one's not eating truma anymore. He's simply eating something that it belongs to this guy. So he has to replace whatever he took from this guy. Ochel v'shutei mitzarfim. Eating and drinking are not mitzareif. That's what our Mishnah says. Matana, who's the author of our Mishnah? Amar Rav Chista machloket shnuya. This din is in a machloket. V'rei Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua is the author of our Mishnah. Tetznan, klal amar Rabbi Yeshua kol shetumato v'shiuro shaveh mitzareif. If the tuma and the shiur are equal, then you are mitzareif. Tuma means how long you're tamei for. If you're tamei for a day, if you're tamei for 7 days. Shiur is how big is the shiur? Kazayit. Kiseora, Kaldasha, we have all different shiurim. The only time two things are mitzareif is when they have everything's equal, which means that their duration of tuma as well as their shiur are equal. Tumato velo shiuro, if they have the same duration of tuma but their shiur is different, or shiuro velo tumato, they have the same shiur to be eaten, but their tuma, the effects of eating them or touching them is different. Lo tumato velo shiuro, if neither of them are equal, then ein mitzareif. In all three of these cases, they're not mitzareif. The only way to be mitzareif is if you have both things that are equal. That means both the shiur and the duration of tuma. Nachman Amar Afilu Tamer Rabbanon. The Rabbanon who argue on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi over there and say as long as you have one common denominator, at least we can get them together. Ad kan lo kamei Rabbanon otam elinyan tuma. There they deal with tuma. The shame tuma chadhi. Over there, you're right. Tuma manifests itself in different ways. There's longer duration tuma, shorter duration tuma, this size, that size, but in the end, it's all one big category called tuma. Over here, the reason by Yom HaKippurim has to do with putting your mind at ease. Yeah, I lo mitzvah date. There's a difference between drinking and eating. Liquids and solids have a totally different impact on the individual, and therefore you have to separate them out. You can't put them together and say you get to the same point. It's Rabbi Yeshua. It's Rabbi Yeshua. It's not because we have the Mishnah. Kol Amar Rabbi Yeshua v'chulei. Just the Mishnah we quoted. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Teima Rabbanon. Rabbi Yochanan over here disagrees with Reish Lakish the same way that Rav Nachman disagreed with Rav Chista and says even the Rabbanon are going to agree over here. Ad kan lo kamei Rabbanon hotam elinyan tuma. Over there, as long as they can find some in common denominator. Now again, if they match together, it'll be to the lighter of the two tumot. We go to, you have to take the chumra, two chumrot, you have to figure out which tuma you got to. But at least you can be mitzareif over there because of their shame tuma is achat. Aba hacha mishum mitu v'date uva'ai lo kamit v'date. But liquids and solids, you can't put them together and end up with a yishuv hadat. You can't end up with putting his mind at ease and a certain amount of comfort that takes away the inui. There you have to look at each item separately. They're not the same thing. Eating, drinking are two different animals, thresholds when it comes to yituv edate. Shame tuma is one big pool of tuma. Yes, they're different manifestations of it, but that'll make it so that you have different rules with each one of them. But that doesn't mean they can't connect together. Okay, we'll stop over here.